So certainly a big part of being happy in life is figuring out, how can I be content? Because the truth is, none of us ever have everything we want, are everything we want to be, right? So what is contentment? Let's start there. What is contentment? What would you say, Melissa?
You know, I like a few images, or it's one image that comes over and over again in Scripture. We see it in Psalm 1 and Jeremiah 17, and then Jesus picks up on it in John 15. It's this image of a tree planted by a stream of water. It says that whatever it does, it prospers because it's planted by the stream. If the heat comes, it's fine. If the drought comes, it's fine. It's always bearing fruit. And so Jesus picks up on this. He says, I'm the vine, abide in me, and you'll bear much fruit. And the Galatians tells us what it is. You know, it says it's love, joy, peace, patience. And so no matter what's happening outside of the person, they're planted by the stream that's Christ, and they're always able to bear the fruit. When the heat comes, when the drought comes, whatever's happening externally, they're always being renewed inwardly by this external stream. So they're always bearing fruit. So that's how I like to think of it, with that image.
Yeah, that helps me, because there's that sense. You're talking about a sense of spiritual contentment. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think sometimes when I think about contentment, I think very much about circumstances and material things, right? What do you think, Jen? How would you describe what contentment is?
Well, I think, you know, it's the fulfillment of the 10th command, really. It says you won't covet, but then it doesn't just say that we ought not to covet. It says we ought not to covet our neighbor's manservant or maidservant, you know, his house, his wife. It gives this list of things that sort of encapsulates the idea of three things: of relationships that we shouldn't covet, of circumstances that we shouldn't covet, and of possessions that we shouldn't covet. I think all three of those things are things that, because we think that something good has been withheld from us, because we are coveting a physical thing or a circumstance, it impacts our ability to be content spiritually. And so, you know, we're always running ourselves up against these comparisons of what everybody else has, whether it's real people or fictitious people.
Well, that leads me to my next question, which is, what is it that threatens our ability to be content, or what makes it challenging to be content? You've mentioned one there, that terrible word, comparison.
Right.
Talk to me about that.
I think we don't even recognize how many levels of comparison we're operating out of most times. I think about how often the things that have caused me maybe a lack of contentment, like within my marriage or with my parenting, had to do not with a comparison to another parent that I was sort of living life with, but to something from my past. You know, maybe there was the way that I was brought up. It was either something that I loved and wanted to replicate in my own home, or maybe it was something that I absolutely couldn't stand about the way that I was raised, that I just didn't want in my own parenting world, but I was still giving into it. So I think that we battle comparisons to the past. We battle comparisons to the Joneses, those people that we're always wanting to keep up with. And then the ideals that are put out there for us by marketers, pretty much any movie you watch, everybody's got a message for you of what the good life is.
Will my romance be as great as it was on that screen?
Right.
Yeah, will my skin look as good as that?
Yeah.
You know, as you talk about that, I'm realizing that one big challenger to contentment is Facebook, isn't it?
I know what you're talking about.
Okay. I mean, there's a lot of things I love about Facebook, but I find sometimes people are going on better vacations than I am, right? And,
yes,
you know,
are.
There's things with their children that are better, and things with their marriage that look better, and the things they got or where they went. I mean, it's just, it can kind of breed a sense of discontent, don't you think?
That's right, because you don't post. We just had a huge fight.
Yeah.
Crying. You don't post those deep inner struggles.
But,
you know, we make up promises to ourselves that aren't in Scripture. When Jesus said, I've told you these things so that in me you'll have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome it. So we try to find our contentment in the world. Well, it's not
the
place to get it.
We can get it all here and now. Well, Paul says in Philippians, he says, I have learned that in whatever situation I am, to be content. And I find that really interesting. He doesn't just say, I am content. He says, I have learned. So mm-hmm. evidently, there is some way that we can learn mm-hmm. to be content. If we're not, which is gives us hope, right? That if we struggle with discontentment. How do you think that happens, Jen?
I think that as you become a student of contentment, you have to become a student of your own desires. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the all of these comparisons that we lay ourselves up against, they're coming from desire-enhancing sources. And so if I know that I haven't, you know, we want to buy into the lie that it doesn't hurt to look, but the oldest story of sin in the Bible begins with seeing and then wanting and then taking. And so I think that we underestimate the importance of limiting desire-enhancing sources. So maybe it's Facebook for some people, right. You know, where they realize the more I go out there and look at this,
this is breeding
the uglier my heart gets. Yeah. But maybe it's, you know, all those catalogs that come in the mail at Christmas time. And I think how often moms will hand those to their kids and say, honey, circle what you want. And I just think, oh my gosh, you know, now we're all going to cultivate this mm-hmm. whole environment mm-hmm. where we're never content because we're always circling the next thing. And so I know a lot of times for me, it's been a matter of when those come in the mail, you take them and you mm-hmm. put them into the recycle bin and mm-hmm. then you go on with your day. I just, mm-hmm. if I don't see it, then the desire is never
I used to walk at the mall.
Yeah.
And it was amazing. For that season, I walked at the mall. There were so many things I needed that when I stopped walking at the mall, I didn't need them anymore, right? Yeah. This is exactly what you're talking about. Mm. What do you think? How do we learn to be content?
Well, I think the first step is we think, what do I need to put off?
Yes.
What do I need to stop seeing? And then the second step is, what do I need to see?
Yes.
How do I need to concentrate on Jesus Christ more? And I tend to think of it as I'm constantly looking back and I'm constantly looking forward. I look back to the cross. And I remember, whatever he's withholding from me, he gave his life for me. Mm-hmm. Can I trust that Jesus?
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to say no to a bleeding Savior.
Mm-hmm.
And then I look forward and I say, he's going to take me home. So present contentment is rooted in a past reality and a future hope.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's turning my eyes because I want to look right now mm-hmm. at what's here and get it all here. But I look back and I look forward mm-hmm. and then I'm presently content.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I think about this passage where he says, I've learned to be content. In the same passage, he says that I can do all things through Christ mm-hmm. who strengthens mm-hmm. me. And we make that mean many things,
yes.
but I think it's in context of this. You know, I can be content
mm-hmm.
because he strengthened me. And I can be content in a growing sense as God's word and his spirit is working in me throughout my life. But I think always throughout my life, there will be a sense of discontent.
Right.
Because this world is broken and I'm still going to be a sinner.
Mm-hmm.
But I have the hope that one day the contentment that was there at the beginning will be restored.
Mm-hmm.
And there will come a day when we are in his presence and we will be fully satisfied
mm-hmm.
with him forever and finally, fully, completely, eternally content.
Mm-hmm.
That will be a great day.
Amen.